RadioInfluence.com, podcasting redefined. You know her from network radio, but now she's on the net and in your head.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is the fabulous sports babe on RadioInfluence.com.
Hey, it's me. It's the podcast. Look at me. I've done this for how many weeks now? Maybe 10 weeks have I done that? Oh, I'm going to be over this pretty soon, but I'm doing it right now because I got nothing else to do, so that'll be fine. Now, we have a lot of things to talk to. We got to talk about the NFL and all that stuff, but we got to do it. I don't want to say anything, but those Patriots are still undefeated. So are those Carolina guys. And you know what? I saw the Carolina thing, and I saw them, and I'll tell you what, they killed Green Bay in that. I was so surprised in that. I thought, ooh, that's fairly good. And you know what? I kind of like the redhead. I've always liked Andy Dalton. And I don't know why. I think it's the red hair. But something as stupid as that. But for some reason, they keep moving along. And I don't really see anybody that's going to change them at all. I look at them and think, that's pretty good for me. I haven't seen it at all. I've got all kinds of things to talk about this coming week. Hey, are we over this, like, where you get the bye? I mean, we're in the 11th week or the, whatever it is. Stop it. You know, get them done and let's get this done right now. You know, I'm looking at my Patriots. I know I'd like them to go the whole time. Not anybody's really going to go the whole time, but I'd love them to go the whole time. But I'll tell you what, I love this Cincinnati team. I like them a whole lot in the middle of that, and I'm glad I'm not working. Can you imagine if you're in charge of the South, in the AFC South, and your very best team is 4-5? And we're going into the 10th game of the season? That doesn't sound very good, does it? I mean, I don't want to say anything, but Tennessee can put on a roll for five people, and the next thing you wouldn't even know what was going on. I have to tell you, I'm not buying Denver. I say that, but I'm not buying it. I understand what happened and all that, but I got to be honest, I'm just not buying it. Not that they're got good and all that. I'm just not going into it. And I keep thinking, is anybody going to come around? You know who's really good in this? Did you see? Have you watched a little of the Oakland thing? We kind of like that car. We like a Murray. We like, you know what? They're doing something out there. And if you're a fan and one of those crazy people for the Raiders, I mean, you got to love it. When was the last time they were really any good? And this is kind of fun in the middle of that. We will talk a lot about football, a lot about the draft and things like that. And at some point, maybe we'll do this next week. But I've been reading a lot and talking a lot about Missouri. That we could do something perhaps in the next week or so, because we've got things to do today. We've got a lot of things. Rick Saratella is coming up. He's from the NFL Draft Bible. I've known him for a long time, and they're crazy. They not only do draft, now they're doing high school stuff. And they're getting like these five-star guys that are going into high school. And I'm like, I don't know how you even keep up with that many people. But that's what we're going to do, so we'll talk a lot about it and do all of that. I'm the babe. What's it called? Wait a minute. It's my podcast. It's my podcast on the Fabulous Sports Page. Guess what? We're doing the podcast. I don't know why. I just keep doing this. Rick Saratella is coming to join us. He's the guy in charge of all the NFL draft Bibles when it comes up to that. How are you, sir?
Hey, babe. You found me.
Yes, I did. I knew you were floating around there some way. But it's been hard to get in touch with you because I always thought I want to talk about draft with you. But now you're not only doing college stuff, but you're doing high school stuff, and I'm like, how in the world can anyone do all that stuff?
Yeah, it's been very crazy. But since the last time we spoke, I partnered up with NUC Sports. I'm still covering the draft side of things. My business partner Dave Schumann does the high school side of things. But what we wanted to do was merge the scouting reports on players that we had with high school players, combine them with the scouting reports that we had with the players in college. So now we have 8 years worth of data and information on these players. And, you know, we have a brand new website, NFLDraftBible.com. We just relaunched a few months ago, babe. Mm-hmm. And now that we reconnected, I can't wait to get you access so you can get going, get rocking. We got the book coming back this year. Really excited about it.
Now, it's called the National Underclassmen, and that's what the NUC is about. Is that right?
So the National Underclassmen, yeah. So that's the high school side of things where, you know, they do some 7-on-7 tournaments. They do some high school rankings there. And, you know, we kind of have the high school division now, the NFL draft division. We have some football news going on, but I'm still the draft guy, babe.
You know, I think about that when I was thinking of 7-on-7. in baseball, one of the things they tell us, if somebody's in the minor, they're up here in the major leagues, that's one thing. But I found out that when you have like a single A or a double A baseball team, that there are four guys that you really think are maybe going to make it to the playoffs, but they need somebody to play with. Is that what happens sort of when you're in high school? Because you might have two guys that are really good in a certain area, but you got to have other people to play with, especially on high school. When you get there, I mean, that's what you need somebody to play with. It's different in college.
Right. And, you know, the big phenomenon now with the high school students, you know, I mean, kids are getting scholarship offers now in middle school, eighth grade, sixth grade. They're handing out scholarship offers. So the big thing now is the high school all-star tournaments. And, you know, the best kids now seems like the new trend are getting together. There's these all-star camps. There's these 7-on-7 camps. And, you know, the colleges are trying to identify the best high school kids in the state. And a lot of these 7-on-7 tournaments and all-star camps now are going a long ways towards some of these recruiters at the collegiate level. So, you know, it's been a big wave of phenomenons in the football industry. We saw the fantasy football industry blow up, of course. And I think then, you know, high school recruiting got really big. And I still believe the NFL draft is really, I think we're still experiencing the height, the popularity, the prime explosion. It's going to prime time. It's a 3-day event. It's moving around different cities. I mean, it's the second most watched sporting event behind the Super Bowl. So I really believe that the NFL draft is really trending upward. And that's kind of why we've merged our coverage with the high school and the draft. And now when you go and search our database and our player archives, you'll get all that good information.
You know, one of the things that you and I have talked about and known it for a while, which is you haven't been doing the draft book, but now you're doing it again. Like you don't have enough time.
Yeah, right. So, you know, I think there's a void out there on the market for the draft guide to come back. We stopped doing the publication in 2010 was the last time we did a hard copy book. I'm really excited that we're bringing it back now. And you know what happened is it was so saturated and all these draft guides were coming out and the popular, you know, the internet was exploding. Well, I've come to find out that people still do like hard copy draft guides. I think that's something that people still do like to keep stored on the shelf. I know I like that. And last year when I went to go look for a draft guide, you know, Mel Kiper stopped producing a draft guide. And then I think everybody else stopped producing a draft guide. So when I went and looked for one this past year, even though we put out so much information, I like to have a book and I couldn't find a good one. So we're going to bring that back. Really excited about that. Our last one, you know, we ran it from 2002 to 2010. Everyone was 300 plus pages. So I think this year's edition is going to be just like that, if not better. And that'll be coming out a month before the draft. So you get all the updated information with the NFL scouting combine. I'm really proud of the work that we do at the pro days. I think we do a really fantastic job gathering all that information and that data and plugging it all in one spot so you can get it all. We do the videos. We do the interviews on the Blog Talk Radio. We go really in depth. So you don't just get the scouting report. You get the video breakdown. You get the audio interview. So it's a really resourceful tool. And we're working on an app. Hopefully we'll have it ready for the draft where you can just download the big board. We're just trying to make time, Dave, but there's just not enough time in the day.
You know, one of the things that I thought about, Rick, is I noticed that FSU is pushing Dalvin Cook and we see Fournette and all those other people, but are there a lot of other guys that I don't know about? Because those are the guys I think of right away. But there are a lot of other guys that I don't know about that I should know about in the first 10 picks of the draft yet? Or is it not really, we're not really there yet?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have it mapped out for next year. We have it mapped out for future years. And, you know, it's crazy because Dalvin Cook, here's a guy who had a domestic assault on a female before the season started, just right before the season started. And I thought his draft stock would be plummeting. And then first week of the season, amazing how a great performance just puts you right back up on the pedestal. We see it in the NFL. It's infuriating. We see it right now with Greg Hardy. Everybody's up in arms over it. And, you know, the bottom line is this: as long as you can play football, there's going to be a team out there that wants you. But when you talk about the big board, I mean, I think right now there's about 5 quarterbacks who could go in the top 50. People are really excited about the Robert Kendiche kid out of Ole Miss. Now, In the draft community, he's not a big secret because he was a five-star recruit coming out of high school, but I think he had his coming-out game this year where he caught some national exposure. Now he's in the mix for the number one pick. And, of course, you know, we saw Florida State have a record number of kids drafted last year, and now Ohio State is that school where I'm hearing after this year, I don't know what's going on up in Ohio State, but after this year, it's like a jailbreak. Everybody's leaving Ohio State. Players, coaches, everybody's making a dash.
Do you, coaches besides what's going on there? Or just, I mean, I can see players, but what about coaches? They're leaving there too?
That's what I'm hearing. I mean, it sounds like a mad dash after the season. And, you know, we've seen this in college. Chip Kelly left Oregon, and they had some things go on after he left. We saw Pete Carroll leave USC at the right time. I don't think it's a coincidence that these college coaches leave when they do. But some big head coaching opportunities should be open on the collegiate level as well. You look at the University of Miami. Charlie Strong being mentioned for that job, maybe the Texas job open. So there's going to be a whole lot of movement going on this offseason. It's a lot of whispers going on, but hey, where there's smoke, there's fire, except for the final week leading up to the draft, because then you could just throw everything out and everything is irrelevant.
You know what, Rick, when I'm talking about this, let me do a couple of things with football because we're going to go there. But let me do that head coach thing. It seemed like a couple of years ago we wanted to get young coaches coming out of college, and that went for a little while, and now they're kind of over that and want to get other coaches, you know, that have been around maybe as an offensive or defensive coordinator. But it's interesting what you said about Pete Carroll and about Kelly and people that are coming down in that way. I was just wondering, do you think it'll go into that now we're looking now for college coaches again, and we're not looking so much for a defensive coordinator that's from someplace else in the NFL?
It seems like it works in cycles, doesn't it? I mean, back when, you know, Spurrier and Saban were hot and the college coaches were a big thing, Butch Jones, they kind of fizzled out at the NFL level and it went back more towards a coordinator type of thing. And now, you know, you saw the Chip Kelly experiment, which is still, I think, has mixed reviews. And I think the biggest problem with the big time college coach, okay, an Urban Meyer, a Nick Saban, a Chip Kelly, now you're hearing Brian Kelly from Notre Dame is throwing his hat into the ring for the NFL. You're hearing he wants to jump to the NFL. The problem with those guys are they want total control, and they think that the NFL is like the college game, like recruiting. Okay, I'm going to come, I'm going to be in charge of the free agency, I'm going to be in charge of the draft, I was in the college game, I know the college kids, I know how to draft. But let me tell you, there's no possible way. I mean, we try to scout 2,500 kids in a 365-day span. It's impossible. So when you're the head coach of a football team and you're game planning and preparing for a team week in, week out, it's impossible to keep up with these college games during the season. And quite honestly, a lot of teams don't pay attention to the draft until January rolls around, and I think they're behind the ball. But for me personally, I would stay away from the college coaches to the NFL just because of the power control. And there are a few coaches who can do it. Pete Carroll, he's doing a wonderful job in Seattle, but for every Pete Carroll, as you know, there's a Greg Schiano.
Well, not only Schiano, who I saw here that was awful, but what about Saban? You know, Saban thought he could control everything, and he went there and he said, oh, this isn't going to happen. He's going right back to college where he truly does control everything.
Correct. And just like Petrino, too. I mean, those guys, they took the payday. The payday looked great. Then they realized it wasn't what it was all cracked up to be. And, you know, it backfired. And the first call they got, you know, they went crawling back to college. Spurrier, I think you saw a lot of similarities with Spurrier and Chip Kelly where, you know, the first couple years, Chip Kelly brought in a lot of Oregon players. There still are a lot of Oregon players on that roster, but I think he went a little overboard with it the first year or two, found out real quick that that's not the way to win at the NFL. Doesn't necessarily translate. Just because he was in your system in college doesn't mean he's going to be successful in the NFL, because it's just a, you know, complete faster game. Everybody's elite talent and you need the cream of the crop. Everybody's the best of the best at what they do. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of movement again. And you got guys also bobbing and weaving back and forth from the college game to the pro game. Guys like Brian Schottenheimer, defensive coordinator in Georgia right now. You got Lane Kiffin calling plays at Alabama. Jim Mora Jr., doing great things at UCLA. I mean, these are all guys that would love to coach at the NFL again. They're just waiting for their next opportunity. But I do think that the recycling of old head coaches kind of has halted a little bit. We saw John Fox get another job this year and Gary Kubiak. But other than that, it seems like the coordinators, the Dan Quinns, the Gus Bradleys, the guys like that. Zimmer is another great example. I mean, I think those are the guys where you can have more stability in a turnover, a head coaching turnover position. I think those are the guys that can bring a little bit more stability, that they've been in the NFL. They've seen how it's done. They've kind of been groomed along the way. And, you know, I'm reading a great book by an autobiography by Ernie Accorsi right now. And some of the stories he tells about his coaching turnover and how, you know, Belichick came in for the first time go around on Cleveland. He went with a recycled coach. The coach is slipping my mind. Didn't work out. He winded up hiring Belichick anyway 2 years later. And just because he was just so impressed. He said he thought he was listening to JFK, you know, giving his presidential speech during the coaching interview. So, you know, this has been going on for decades and decades. And, you know, whether it's the hot college coach or the hot coordinator at the NFL, I think you can definitely show success stories and failures at both. But I think the NFL coordinator is the more safe approach.
You know, one of the things I'm going to ask you about Bama and Michigan and Mississippi State and all that, but I got to tell you, I'm looking at Baylor up there. I'm looking at OSU. I'm looking at Bama and all that. But can we talk? I saw them the other day for the first time. I saw Houston, 8-0 Houston. I'm looking at Navy, that's 7-1. I'm looking at Memphis. I'm looking at Temple, and I'm going, I don't know what they're doing, but they're at the bottom of the top 25, and whatever's going on is right for them right now. I mean, I don't remember Temple ever really being that much of a football team. And now they're really good right now. And Navy, you know, I thought, oh, isn't it nice? Army and Navy are going to get together. I figure they've won 2 games each. This guy, they're 7-1 right now. Temple's 8-1. How did this thing happen, these four teams that have been so good?
Well, you know, it's really what we just talked about, coaching. You know, I go with Temple first because, you know, right here in my own backyard, we've been covering the Temple Pro Day for about a decade, and maybe, you know, one or two guys have actually made it to the NFL. Now, he came down to Temple, and I think this is now his fourth year. So he's had four recruiting classes to kind of, you know, his first year really where the whole roster are his recruits. It's his team. Mm-hmm. It's guys that he, you know, recruited for his system to fit specifically for that style of play. And I think, you know, once you get a coach who knows what he's doing in there and you give him 3 or 4 years to kind of recruit his players, you know, if you get the right coach, you can turn around a program. Also, when you get a good quarterback play, look at California was at the bottom of the barrel for years. They get a good quarterback in Jared Goff. All of a sudden, they go from a 1-win team to a 5-win team to now, you know, probably close to double-digit win team this year. You know, Houston, the same thing. Tom Herman comes over from Ohio State. Mm-hmm. He was there with Urban Meyer calling the plays on offense, comes over to Houston now. And all of a sudden, you know, you see a big turnaround. Houston, William Jackson, there's a cornerback at Houston. William Jackson could be a first in the upcoming NFL draft. But it all stems back to what we just talked about. It's getting the right head coach in there. And if you get the right head coach, or, like Memphis, the right quarterback in Paxton Lynch. I mean, that kid, I love everything I see from him. Reminds me a lot of how when Ben Roethlisberger was coming out of Miami, Ohio, because Big Ben was dominating the MAC, and, you know, people said, oh, how good is he? He's doing it against the MAC. And you know, that's the hardest comparison. Guys like Roethlisberger, Joe Flacco coming out of Delaware, I mean, those are the hardest guys to gauge. Paxton Lynch, I like what he brings to the table, but again, you're going to have the question of the competition, you know, come into play when NFL teams are scouting this player. They're going to say, hey, well, he's doing it against Fresno State. He's doing it against, you know, the lower level teams, but, you know, good quarterback, good coaching, still the best formula for a winning football program at any level.
You know, do you think that this year, when we talk about the draft and people come up and they start looking at, especially to the quarterbacks again, do we have a good bunch this year? You know, you thought of the two that we had last year of Mariotti and Winston, but do we have, I don't know, it seems like I look at them and I go, maybe I'll get a little closer into them, but I don't have that strength of anyone around. It's like the guys are there, but I don't feel that. May, of course, this is November. I can feel quite differently by the time April and May roll around, too.
Well, you know, the college quarterback has transitioned a lot the last 5 years or so because there's so many spread offenses, spread read offense, spread option offense, five wide offense. And really, a lot of these quarterbacks now are one read. And you make one read, you make the throw, or you tuck it and run. And, you know, you don't see a lot of quarterbacks progress through the reads. You don't see many pocket passing quarterbacks. So, you know, I said there's possibly five quarterbacks in the top 50 picks. 3 to 5 guys could sneak in the first round, depending on the underclassmen. But it's really flavor of the week. It's going to depend on finding the quarterback that fits your system. And we've seen different guys kind of have a hot streak. It started off, you know, Christian Hackenberg from Penn State coming into the season. Number one, it was his status to lose. And he lost it because he played inconsistently. He wasn't accurate. His offensive line is getting murdered back there. Then Jared Goff from California, he was the flavor of the week until his 5-interception performance against Utah. Then he had another poor game after that, and all of a sudden Paxton Lynch came in, and here was Memphis undefeated for a while, and he said, who is this kid, Paxton Lynch? Now, Cardale Jones, who almost declared last year from Ohio State, that would have been a case study. Some people felt like he would have been a first-round pick. Now, I think the eyeball test, you know, somebody, there's going to be an owner, there's going to be a coach, there's going to be a coordinator somewhere who falls in love with this kid. The Jamarcus Russell disease, ah, man, this kid has it. This kid, he's going to have a great pro day. He's going to look great throwing the ball in gym shorts and a T-shirt. And I think he could potentially be a first-round pick. And then the other guy I'll throw into the mix is Connor Cook from Michigan State. Yes. We talked about it, the pocket passer quarterback coming from Mark D'Antonio's offense. However, I just don't view him more any better of a prospect than a Brian Hoyer or a Kirk Cousins who came out of that same system. So you're right, babe. There's no quarterback here that's hot to trot. There's no franchise quarterback. There's no definite guarantee. So you're really going to have to struggle to find a guy that you like, work with them, and develop them. And it goes back to my original point, too. I think you'll see more quarterbacks where you come along like Aaron Rodgers, Steve McNair. These guys need work. They're going to have to sit on the bench and learn from somebody. Otherwise, they're going to have to, you know, weigh the risk of throwing them out there to the wolves and just watching them get, you know, eaten alive. And then you know what that can do to a quarterback's confidence. Once you go back there, just look at Blake Bortles or Blaine Gabbert before him, or even Alex Smith at the beginning of his career, the first Carr brother from the Houston Texans, David Carr. I mean, he got clobbered his first couple years and he never recovered from that. So there's a lot of interesting factors here when you weigh the quarterback prospects. For not just this year, I think for the next few years, you're going to be a little bit hurt up for some of these quarterback prospects. And one would argue the best quarterback in all of college football is a freshman over in UCLA, Josh Rosen. I mean, he's going to have scouts drooling in about 3 years, but we got to wait 3 years until he's eligible.
You know, one of the things when you're talking about, thinking about Josh Rosen too, and it made me think when you were talking about it, about RG3, think of him coming out of Baylor or what you thought of him, how great he really was. And now he's like the third string quarterback and they don't know what to do with him. It goes back to what you said. It's about confidence. Isn't that sort of what's happened to him completely?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, the thing about RG3, he thought he was going to get by on natural talent. He had an arrogance about him. He didn't take well to coaching. He wanted to tell coaches, look, I'm going to do it my way. The coaches would tell him, this is how we want it done. Mm-hmm. And then on game days, he would go out there and do it his own way. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It just didn't work. And yeah, you think about coming out of Baylor where they have no playbook, they have no huddle. You just line up, you look over to the sideline. There's three coaches over there holding up a big card three big cards, and only the quarterback knows which card is the right play. So you're looking at a picture, you're dissecting the front seven, and you're just reading the safeties, and then you're making a play at the line of scrimmage. Am I going to pass it or am I going to run it? If it's a pass, I'm going to make a one read. If my receiver's open, I'm going to throw it. If not, I'm going to take off and running. And you know what? It just doesn't work that way at the NFL. It will not work. You got to make your progression. You got to read through the offense. And the same thing with Colin Kaepernick. He came in, okay, another thing on coaching, Jim Harbaugh, you see what Harbaugh did with the quarterback at Michigan this year, Jake Rudick. I mean, he was a nobody. Now he's playing lights out. But Harbaugh had a great, great coaching in Harbaugh. Colin Kaepernick did really well. Harbaugh went away, and you saw Kaepernick resort back to his old habits, and now it's just not effective. His career is in, you know, probably going to be with another franchise. And just like that, you know, he went from being one of the hottest quarterback names, taking the 49ers to the NFC championship back-to-back years, to now being a guy that is falling so far from the top, the team doesn't even want him anymore. And they're starting Blaine Gabbert over him. So the fall from the top has been far for Colin Kaepernick, RG3. But, you know, there's going to be plenty of more dual threat type quarterbacks to come out of college. I think the ones like a Russell Wilson, like a Tyrod Taylor, the guys that look to pass first, run second, even Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck is a sneaky quarterback running the ball, but he always looks to pass first. Can he pick up a first down with his feet? Absolutely. But that's his last resort. And I think that's the type of dual threat quarterbacks that do succeed.
You know, one of the, tell people how to get your draft book and everything else, somehow to get in touch and do all that. Go ahead and do all that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're on the World Wide Web. You can find us at NFLDraftBible.com. You know, if you're not a paid subscriber, you can try us 30-day free trial. You just enter my promo code RIC2015. That'll give you 1 month free trial. Test it out. See if you like it. If not, like I said, come April, about a month before the draft, we'll be releasing our NFL draft guide for the first time in 5 years. We'll have it available on PDF, and we'll also do a limited edition hard copy. Of course, Babe, yours is going to come certified first class mail.
Hey, you know what? Now we know everything about the draft, and the best part is it's only like November, and we're not even going to know about it until April. Is it coming in May? I don't know when. I think it's coming in April, May, something like that. Just as long as we talk about it, we'll do a bunch of draft and you can listen to him and find out everything that's going on. I have a couple of things. First of all, I am all over Empire. I know everybody is, but I'm sorry. I watch it and I like it. And I just love it. That's all there is to it. I'm one of those nuts for the whole thing. And by the way, let me just tell you, there's some things that are making me crazy. And one of them had to do with, I didn't see it because I just couldn't stand to watch any more Donald Trump. Because let's get serious. You know, I mean, for anyone that thinks he's going to be the president, he's not going to be the president. I hope you know that. I mean, he's jumping around and it's fine, but the reality is going to suck you into that one way. But I'm looking at that Donald Trump thing. I'm thinking, well, I'm not even interested in all of that. But I have a question. Is anybody else getting the Colonel Sanders thing? As I'm looking at this thing, and when it first came out, Daryl Hammond was on, and he was doing Colonel Sanders. Does anybody remember when you were 4 years old and you saw Colonel Sanders? I mean, real Colonel Sanders, when he used to walk around. He used to do a Kentucky Fried Chicken when we were really little. Did you ever see that? Probably not. I think you had to be really little, like me, in the middle of that. But he would walk around and tell you about our Kentucky Fried Chicken and all that kind of stuff. But now we have Daryl Hammond, and he was there. And I have to be honest with you, he was damn creepy in this Colonel Sanders thing. He really was. And then the next thing I know, Norm MacDonald is there. But when they put him in the lie detector, they go, are you Colonel Sanders? He says, yes. And the lie detector goes, beep, 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 beep. And I'm like, well, which one is Colonel Sanders? And now I'm wondering, maybe it would be better if they did everyone and they had like an Asian one and like Chris Rock would do one of the Colonel Sanders. Would that not be great? You know, and have some woman do it too? I mean, wouldn't that, and just make them cry? I don't know if they're just going to laugh at it or what, but I just thought to myself, that seems like it would be kind of funny in the middle. All right, I'm looking at Colonel Sanders. I'm watching Empire and who else knows what's going on. And I got to tell you, God, I love the Red Zone. God, I love the Red Zone. I can't even watch anything but the Red Zone. It's me. I'm doing another one of these silly podcasts, and I am the fabulous sports babe.
If you know the babe at all, you know the show never ends.
Don't believe me, just watch.
Follow her on Twitter at RealSportsBabe and subscribe to the show on iTunes. This is the Fabulous Sports Babe on Radio Influence.
Hey, sports fans, this is Rich Scherrer. Make sure to tune in to my brand new podcast. It's called Off the Air. We sit down with the biggest names in sports broadcasting, the guys that bring you all the big plays. We're going to turn the microphone off and get to know them off the air. It's Off the Air with Rich Scherrer. Don't forget, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and, of course, RadioInfluence.com is our home on the World Wide Web. So make sure to tell all your friends about Off the Air with Rich Scherrer, a weekly podcast featuring the biggest names in broadcasting.